In the Sefer Names through Parsha Frames Shir for this week for Parshas Mishpatim, we're going to look at the very important Sefer called Sefer HaBris, written by Rav Pinchas Eliyahu Horowitz. He lived from 1765 to 1821 in Vilna. And the Sefer HaBris, that phrase actually comes from our Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, in Parakhav Dalid, where it says, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikra Ba'azne Ha'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu took the Sefer HaBris, as the Mepharshim point out, only the portion of the Torah that refers to the covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, and he read that to them. Now, Rav Pinchas Eliyahu Horowitz, he was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon in Vilna. And so many thought, erroneously, the Vilna Gaon was actually the author of the Sefer HaBris. And what led them to believe that is that when the Sefer was published in 1799, it was published anonymously, and only later in 1806, the Rav Horowitz put his name on it. Now, why was this Sefer published anonymously? So, he writes in his later edition that it was not because he was being overly modest or pious, but rather it was because in the early stages of writing this book, in Galicia, due to his excessive exertions in putting together this book day and night, he got to the point where he actually lost his eyesight. And for an entire winter, he rested, tried different remedies, but nothing worked. So he set out to Lvov and visited doctors for 6 months, and finally, his eyesight was restored. But at that time, when he was going through that process, he made a neder to Hashem, that if Hashem will allow his eyesight to be restored and he can finally complete his Sefer HaBris, he would print it without his name. And so even though he became better, and the rabbi who wanted to release him from the neder for various reasons, but he refused, and so the book was published initially without his name. Interestingly, I saw in the Alei Tamar, a commentary in the Yerushalmi by Rusachar Tamar, he writes that it's actually not entirely clear that his name was Rav Pinchas Eliyahu, because in certain Svarim, his name was left out. Certain individuals that had Svarim that were contemporaries of his, right in their Svarim, they didn't know his middle or last name. However, the Alei Tamar says that he has a copy. He had a copy of the Sefer HaBris Madura Shnia, one of the very, very early editions. And on the sixth page, he writes, Rav Horowitz writes, that if one finds one of my Sfarim without my signature on it, it means it's not authentic. And on the seventh page of this Madura Shnia, he signs his name Pinchas Elias, or Elias. And then he writes that in the Ksav Beis Yisrael, Pinchas Eliyahu. So the Alei Tamar says, Rav Tamar says, you see that it could be his family name was Elias, that his name was Rav Pinchas Elias, but that was maybe a Goyish or wasn't such a frum name. And so when he wrote Svarim, when he was in the Velt, he would write it as, he would sign his name as Pinchas Eliyahu. In the Chura Meshulash, the biography, the authentic biography of the Chassam Sofer, so they write over there that the Chassam Sofer had an idea during his lifetime to write a science textbook for yeshiva students so that they could know what they needed to know without having to read science textbooks written by Gentiles, written by Goyim. However, he writes that when the Sefer HaBris came out by Rabbi Horowitz, Chassam Sofer said, it's already been done, he doesn't need to add anything, and he recommended that his students learn the Sefer HaBris to get their science knowledge. People would say about the Sefer HaBris at the time, it must be, this was written by scholars, it couldn't be that one man actually wrote this, because how could it be that one man would have such a breadth of knowledge? He was a Kabbalist, and he was a bucky, an expert in so many different fields. Now, the Sefer HaBris is a Torah encyclopedia. It covers topics of faith, halacha, mussar, Kabbalah, nature, philosophy, astrology, science, technology. This Sefer was reprinted 36 times, translated into many languages. It's quoted by many poskim, the Chachmas Adam, Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Ovadia. In the introduction to the Sefer, he writes something very interesting. He writes that the Givus HaMore writes in his introduction to the Sefer that the reason it took so long to develop philosophy was because the great wisdom of Aristotle and his unprecedented stature. And because of this, his views were followed by scholars, by all the scholars in later on, but that it was viewed that anybody who disagreed with Aristotle, it's like you were arguing on a self-evident reality. And he writes that the same way, the reason why there has been a delay in development of our Torah theology is because many think that if you disagree with the Rambam, it's like you're disagreeing with some self-evident truth. And he writes that it's actually interesting because we know that Rambam got many of his ideas and concepts from Aristotle. However, he writes that if you're a man of integrity, you could love the Rambam, but you could love truth more. As one philosopher once said, I love Aristotle, I love Socrates, but the truth I love more. So I want to quote for you just three or four ideas quoted in the Sefer Bris, which I found very interesting. Number one, the Gemara in Chagiga, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, the Daf Shavua just recently learned this, it quotes Reish Lakish, who says there are seven firmaments in the heavens. So one of them is called Rakia, and it contains the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. Another one is called Shechakim, and that one has a mill that grinds things for tzaddikim. Okay, an Agarata Gemara. But the Aruch HaShulchan and the Isha Avraham, on Simin Tav Chavav in Shulchan Aruch, in Halachas of Kiddush Levana, he asks, I don't understand. We say in the Bracha of Kiddush Levana, Asher b'ma'amaro bara Shechakim, that you with your word created Shechakim. But according to Reish Lakish, Shechakim is not even the firmament with which the moon is in. Shechakim is a completely different firmament. So why would in the Bracha with respect to the moon do we refer to a firmament which the moon is not in? And Rabbi Kiva Igran Shulchan Aruch quotes, he says, see the Sefer HaBris, who asked this question. So what's the Sefer HaBris's answer? He answers that, if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Beis, the author of this Bracha of Kiddush Levana is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda in this Gemara Chagiga actually argues on Reish Lakish and holds there are only two firmaments. And therefore, the Shechakim can also be the firmament with which the moon is in. And the Sefer HaBris writes that why is it called Shechakim if the moon is there? If you say it means a place where you grind, okay, I hear it. But what about if it's the moon? He writes that we find Lashon Chukim as referring to the moon in Yirmiyahu and Perek Lamed Aleph, where the Pasuk says, Chukos Yarech V'Kochavim L'Or Laila. The laws of the moon and the stars are there to illuminate the light. So we see Chukos could be referring to moon. So what's Shechakim? He says it's a breakdown of Sham Chukim. There are the Chukim, there are the moon and the stars. Just like the Gemara over there in Chagiga says, Shamayim is Sham Mayim, there is water. As we know, in creation, the waters were separated into the upper waters and the lower waters. So to hear, we say in the Bracha Kiddush Levana, Barash Chakim, we mean Barash Sham Chukim, that we created there is the moon and the stars. That's one idea. Another idea that Ali Tamar quotes from the Sefer HaBris is that it's proper for a person, before he passes away, to designate and allocate a set amount of money for certain mostos HaTorah, for certain tzedakahs, and they should be given continuously in his name to pass on his legacy after he passes away. And this is based on what Chazal say, that a person shouldn't leave his friend without tzedakah and chesed, so that the friend will remember him letova. And so too, when a person leaves the world, he should also do it in a way that people will remember him for good. He quotes that there was a minhag in Poland before the war that when you were a guest somewhere in someone's house and you left, you would leave over some gelt for the children so that they remember you as a good guest. Number three, Sefer HaBris writes, a very well-known shita that's held by many, which is that when it comes to bugs or worms in produce, that we only care in terms of halachically being mutar aser about bugs or worms that can be seen with the naked eye. But if you could only see the bug or the worm with a microscope, that's not us, or it's not something you have to worry about. Why? Because l'nisna Torah, l'malach esharis, we're not angels. We do what we can do. We don't need to view everything under a microscope. And finally, something very interesting, Sefer HaBris writes that there are seven metals. Zahav, Kesef Chai, Ufares, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, and Bedil. Okay. He writes that there are seven planets. He writes that each planet that he's about to list corresponds to a certain metal. So he writes that Saturn corresponds to Ophares, Jupiter corresponds to Bedil, Mars, the red planet, corresponds to Barzel, the Sun corresponds to Zahav Gold, the Moon corresponds to Kesef, Mercury corresponds to Kesef Chai, and Venus corresponds to Nechoshes. Again, he doesn't count Earth, he doesn't count Uranus, he doesn't count Neptune. Not sure why. So I saw in the Shas and Shuvah Teres Paz, written by Rav Pinchas Zvichi a huge Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, born in 1960, learned in the Yeshiva of Parat Yosef. So he writes that based on this Sefer HaBris, now we can understand something very interesting. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav, tells us that if you're born in the mazel of Mars, of the planet, or the red planet, you'll be a blood spiller. So Ravashi over there says, you could choose. You could either be a shochet, a murderer, a mohel. So the Marsha there says that clearly Yehudim, Jews, are governed by mazel. We have certain natural tendencies, and we're actually locked in, that these are our natural strengths. But we have bechira to determine how we will use those tendencies. So if you're a blood spiller, that's what you are. You can't change that. You could change how you use that quality. You can be a mohel, or you can be a murderer. And he says that explains the pasuk of Chanoch Lenar al pi darko. When we say we train children according to their way, it means according to their mazel. We have to identify in children what their strengths are, and then try to lead them along that path. And that's why the pasuk ends, Gam ki yazkin lo yasur mimena, that if you train a child to adapt, to focus on his strengths, then once he gets into a practice, a job, a profession, a skill that involves those strengths, he'll never leave that. Whereas if you try to change a child's mazel, if you try to change his tendencies, try to make him do something he's not comfortable or not skilled with doing, he will eventually stray from that when he gets older, as you can't really get away from your natural mazel. So Rav Zvichi says, based on this, it makes sense why the mitzvah of Mila and the mohel uses a knife made of barzel, made of iron. Why? Because the Sefer HaBris tells us that barzel is the metal that corresponds to the ma'adim, to the red planet, to planet Mars. And we know the mohel is someone who is born under the planet of Mars. And his mazel could have been for killing, it could have been for blood spilling, and it is for blood spilling, but now it's being used for a mitzvah. So we take the barzel and we show that this mohel, how great he is, he's doing the mitzvah, he's taking his mazel, the mazel Adam, the mazel of Mars, he's channeling it for a mitzvah, and we take that corresponding metal, the metal of iron, and we also use it for a mitzvah as well.